Your Steve Jones Show podcast is loading now. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Sunbury Motors, North 4th Street in Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Are we going to have a fun one today? We are going to have Tony Knopf, the CEO of Spotlight Ticket Management, on. A guy that single-handedly ruined Kevin Herr's dreams of sports. And I love the guy for it. I mean, Sean, he wrecked it.
So you're saying that opened up the door for me to join you?
Well, it wrecked his dream of sports. He didn't realize it was actually a monetary exchange that happened. Like all those ticket prices went to pay for things.
Oh, and they say it's not all about the money. Guess what?
It really is about the money, man. There's no getting around it. Tony's going to be on the show today, and we're going to preview the Masters today with Guy Cipriano. Ah, the Masters begins tomorrow, and for many, that is the beginning of the golf season. Yes. A tradition unlike any other.
And even for the fringe golf curiosity fans, I mean, this is the weekend where you just tune in and, you know, just watch it in high def and all the, you know, color and the azaleas. I mean, nothing really can compare.
The dogwoods and azaleas in full bloom, my man.
Amen, corner.
Full bloom. All right. So we'll get everybody up to date on that. And we'll do that on today's show. We'll have Guy in the next half hour. Tony at 4:06. We'll have fun today. But it ruined. I mean, it ruined Kevin's childhood dream of what sports is about. It was beautiful. He just thought it was all lollipops and
rainbows and
yes. he didn't realize it. Like, this is like a brutal business. It's winner take all financially. You're coming up with all sorts of ways to find money. Well, we'll talk to Tony about that. We'll talk to him about everything from NFL London, because Roger Goodell was at an open forum with Jacksonville Jaguar fans, and the topic of London came up. And we'll get into that. We'll get into using your phone at the ballpark to buy things, as I always refer to as the Starbucks method. We'll get into that with him as well. And we'll talk to Guy about the Masters, about Augusta National, about why it's enduring, about today's player that makes today's player so intriguing. A lot going on. This is not a minor sports day today for us. This is, we went all out in the Final Four. Now we're going all out again. We, of course, you're home for the Philadelphia Phillies. And Phillies are, what, back in action tonight, my man, right? 7:10?
Yep, 6:35 on deck with Jimmy Jackson and, of course, L.A. and Scott Fransky. And 7:10 will be first pitch tonight from Cincinnati. Then they'll have a getaway day tomorrow, 12:35 start tomorrow, before they head for New York for the Mets for the weekend.
Okay, what's our schedule then? Are we on tomorrow or not? It's 12:30 is kind of an odd. Is the first pitch at 12:30, right?
12:35, yeah. So kind of monitoring the weather situation in Cincinnati. Maybe there's some rain around tomorrow. Have to see.
I don't know. Well, okay.
We're all on standby.
we're all on standby.
All on day by day.
Well, aren't we all on a day by day basis?
We are.
Grayson Allen's going to return for his junior season at Duke. That means Penn State will face him. I keep reading all these stories. How can you not pick Duke? How can you not pick Duke? I'm thinking, maybe this is the wrong time to play Duke. Hey, Penn State's going to play them in November. Maybe it's better to get them early. Holy moly.
Well, they'll lose two starters to the draft, Duke, correct?
Yeah, but you should see the recruiting class.
Sure.
Okay?
Number one for 2017, right?
Yes, number one for 2017. They're replacing this year's one-and-dones with more one-and-dones.
And we're not even talking about Kentucky here.
But you know what? That is something. It is extremely simplistic to jump on John Calipari about the Kentucky one-and-dones. Very simplistic. Because Mike Krzyzewski has been one of the other guys that very quickly adapted to the one-and-done mentality. Mike Krzyzewski never had a player leave early from Duke until 1999. That's how deep into the process it happened when Eldon Brand left and entered the NBA draft, and he was the first overall pick in the draft.
Not too long after that was Luol Deng.
Right. So he, you know, it wasn't up until 1999 that he had guys leave early for the draft. Now he has one and dones. Brandon Ingram's already a one and done. He's entering the draft. He's gone. And he'll be either the first or second overall pick if everything holds form. And just because, I mean, Calipari gets the bad rap about it, but there's a reality that the same thing happens at Duke. Nothing wrong with it. It's part of the rules. You know, it's not against the rules, that's for sure. You're not breaking any rules. Abby Wambach, of course, who has run afoul here with the DUI arrest and some other admissions along the way, is speaking tonight here at Penn State. She did speak last night at Kentucky. She is coming in here to speak tonight. So she's keeping her commitments. And it's going to be interesting to see what she says. Louisville's imposed more penalties amid NCAA probes. They're trying to proactively punish themselves. With the idea they do that, then what they'll do is they'll keep the NCAA from bringing the hammer down on them. Louisville's, what are they doing now? 2 days removed from the end of the NCAA tournament, Louisville has announced more self-inflicted sanctions. They aren't major, but they're nonetheless the latest actions showing how seriously Louisville is taking the matter in an effort to close, quote, a difficult chapter. Louisville will take away one scholarship for 17-18. They'll take away another scholarship for 18-19. So they'll operate with 12 scholarship players each of the next 2 years. The program is taking 24% of its recruiting days away in 16 by taking 30 total days away from the staff to go out and recruit. The third part of the self-imposed punishment is a reduction in official visits for recruits from 2 to 1 next season and the season after. They say it's consistent with NCAA legislation they do this. Again, part of it, too, is they're saying Rick Pitino hasn't been hit yet. In the end, that is what the NCAA will do. The NCAA, whether Rick Pitino has any knowledge of this or not, I don't think it's going to matter to these guys. I think he's going to face a suspension for next season. Now, how many games? Is it 9 games like Jim Boeheim? Is it 3 games like Jim Calhoun? I don't know. But my guess is, even if he has no knowledge of this whatsoever, which calls into a question the level of fairness, he's the head coach, and they've done what they've decided to do of late is go after the head coaches with suspensions, regardless of knowledge level.
Which school do you think will get levied with some kind of penalty and or sanction first? Louisville or possibly North Carolina?
Well, supposedly North Carolina has been... I mean, the investigation should be done.
I've been hearing some rumblings that it could come down for North Carolina possibly in less than a month.
Right. The April, this month of April is supposed to be the month. But, no offense. I mean, did you read the report? What's taking so long? It doesn't take long to look at that and say, okay, Houston, we've got a huge problem here. You've got a number of people admitting they got grades for not showing up at the class. And remember what the NCAA's original excuse was for not getting involved. Well, any student could take that class. Hello? They work in strange ways in Indianapolis. We will come back with more in a moment on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Guy Cipriano, Golf Course Industry Magazine, is going to join us. We're going to talk about the Masters next half hour. And then Tony Knopf, the CEO of Spotlight Ticket Management, who personally drove Kevin off the show. Every time Tony was done with his segment, talking about business and about tickets and corporate sponsors and, you know, and world markets, Kevin would be in the fetal position.
Those days we would go through a lot of Kleenex.
I mean, he'd be in the fetal position. Wakeman would walk by and said, stand up. You know, Jen doesn't put up with much.
No. She cuts right to the chase.
It says not mess around.
Like a hot knife through butter.
Like, get up. Everybody knows it's a business. Get up. So we'll have him on and talk about that in a few minutes, about the Masters, about Augusta National. It's always Augusta National is always one of those bucket list things. And Jack Ham, Ron Moeller, and I were going to go down with Tim Wiebe, I think I want to say 3 years ago, to Augusta. We're going to go down to, is it like the second round we're going to go down for? And Wiebe had problems with his plane. It's like, great. Talk about bad luck. The Olympics will be coming up, and there will be Olympic golf. And something I noticed is that they're going to give a major exemption. In other words, an exemption into all the majors, Masters, U.S. Open, British Open, PGA, if you win the gold medal at the Olympics. And you know what that told me? They're worried. They're worried about the field they're going to attract. Because if you think of a professional golfer today, I can name off the top of my head six events, even seven, that are more important to them than going to the Olympics. Masters, U.S. Open, British Open, PGA, Players' Championship, the Ryder Cup, and maybe even the Palmer Nicklaus tournaments are more important. But this is a Ryder Cup year. That is their international competition. They're going to go to Hazeltine this year in Minnesota. The Olympics, I mean, you've got to really weigh this out. Do I want to go down there where the water's lousy and mosquitoes are everywhere? Oh, and by the way, they have this thing called Zika. Do you really want to do this just so somebody can put a medal around your neck? No. Like I said, you can name six events right away, six, off the top of your head, that are far more important to these guys than going to Rio for a gold medal. Masters, U.S. Open, British Open, PGA, Players Championship, and the Ryder Cup. They're all more important. They're all more important. And the placement of the Olympics doesn't help, because now you're talking about having the British, the PGA, and the Olympics all in a seven-week span, and that's a lot to get ready for. That's a lot to get ready for.
No, the PGA Championship is PGA Championship is always in August. Is that that's the same weekend as the Olympics start, maybe, or
the overlap? No, or? I think it's all in a 7 week span. Because you could take the Olympic Games. It's not like a 2 week tournament. You can take the Olympics, Olympic golf, and you can throw it at the beginning if it doesn't match up with schedules, or you can throw it at the end if it doesn't match up with schedules. You've got 2 weeks to balance it somewhere.
So would they run like a Thursday through Sunday, like a regular tournament? Four rounds?
I don't know how they're going to do it. My guess is yes. Now, I'll tell you where it is going to help. Women's golf is absolutely an international game. As we did the show last year from the U.S. Women's Open at Lancaster Country Club, NB Park, Lydia Ko, you know, you go through the list. Lexi Thompson. And Stacey Lewis. It's a truly an international game. And I think the women's game will really be helped by having the Olympics. Now, the women's game has five majors. They don't have four. They have five because they added the British Open. But I think they'll be helped and that game will be helped by the Olympics. The men's game will not be. The men's game will do far more to help the Olympics than the Olympics will do to help the men's game. It's like Olympic tennis. You know, the most memorable Olympic tennis moment was actually at Wimbledon, because it was at Wimbledon, Andy Murray beat Federer. You don't have that. I can tell you right now, the Olympic Games in tennis in 16 is going to be like, you know, like, yeah, so what? It's going to be interesting to see who buys this thing, too. I mean, I guess the sales for NBC have gone well, but I don't know. Next half hour, Guy Cipriano on the Masters. We are 30 years removed from Jack Nicklaus winning at the age of 46. 30 years. Seems like yesterday, doesn't it?
I got to watch that 86 special that was on Golf Channel. Hopefully they're going to rerun that.
Oh, they will this week. I watched it last night. Really well done. It's more than just taking you on his walk in the fourth round. They intertwine several different ancillary stories that meant something, even down to the yellow shirt.
New Columbia. Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now, from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Okay, so the bottom line is now we do things in minute intervals. Is that what she said?
Quick bursts of exercise, yes.
Oh, that's my golf swing.
Yeah. And that was our great friend.
Quick burst.
And that was our great friend, Chelsea Pagana, Penn State graduate.
I mean, quick burst, and then I walk up to the next one. Quick burst. Another one. In fact, Chelsea, sometimes on certain holes, there are six or seven quick bursts before that ball goes in the hole. I mean, I was hoping it'd only be three and we get a birdie. No. There are six or seven. Notice double bogey and triple bogey. Oh, my goodness. Swing, club, follow, ball. Not only that, but now, my form of exercise brings with it also an education in wildlife. Tell that groundhog to get away from my ball. Time now for this day in sports history. 1896. This is a national Kevin Herr holiday. The first modern Olympic Games began in Athens, Greece. Savor it, everyone. 1973, President Nixon threw out the first pitch of the season at a California Angels game. First time a U.S. president had performed the ceremonial activity in a city other than D.C. Of course, last year we had Pacquiao and Floyd Mayweather, boxing's first ever no-hitter. It was on this date in 1987 that a real boxing match took place when Sugar Ray Leonard took the middleweight title from Marvelous Marvin Hagler. Now that was a fight. That was legit. That was a fight. I don't know what all of you, rest of you paid your money to see, but I know I actually went. That's one of the pay-per-view. I went and said, I want to see that. It was worth it. It was great. I knew this was going to be, I don't know, not worth it. We'll leave it at that. Okay, that's this day in sports history. Next hour, Tony Knopp, CEO of Spotlight Ticket Management. Now we bring in Guy Cipriano, Golf Course Industry Magazine, working out of Ohio these days. Guy, welcome back. Great to have you with it. My man, it is Masters Week.
Yeah, it is, Stephen. Thanks for thinking of me, and thanks for having me. And it should be an exciting 4 days at Augusta National Golf Club. This is one of the most anticipated Masters in a long time.
Well, that's because, I mean, let's face it, they had a great shot at the Champions Dinner out on the porch of Gary Player, Jack Nicklaus, Arnold Palmer sitting together. Well, now we have the modern Big Three, Big Four. What are they doing with Tiger Woods now on the sidelines? What are they doing to enhance the game as we see it?
They are making the game accessible and exciting for younger generations. We kind of had a sort of lull after Tiger had his issues a few years ago, and you weren't sure what's going to happen to the future of the pro game. There were a lot of questions of who the emerging stars would be and where things might go with professional golf. And then all of a sudden, Rory McIlroy bursted onto the scene. It wasn't a horrible surprise there because he was well thought of as an amateur in Europe, and he started winning majors real fast. I mean, he had 4 majors by the age of 25. He's one major away from the career Grand Slam. He's 26 now, so he emerged first. And then Jordan Spieth, you can't say he really came out of nowhere either. I mean, he had an outstanding amateur career and was almost the NCAA champion at Texas and went pro. And, you know, a lot of people were questioning that decision, and he got some sponsors exemptions and parlayed those into some big things, and then things started happening real fast for him. You know, I mean, he won the Masters last year at 21 years old, and then Jason Day kind of fought some injuries and some other things for a while and some close calls, and then he really, last year, just kind of proved that he could win the big tournament when he won the PGA, and he's really been on a fire since then. He's won 6 of his last 13, so these guys kind of have developed real quick, and it's great for golf. I mean, they're 3 different personalities. They're from 3 completely different parts of the world, and they're from 3 completely different backgrounds, but what makes this Masters really anticipated is it's just not those 3 guys, Steve. There's a lot of depth on the PGA Tour. I mean, you have a 2-time Masters winner like Bubba Watson, who won at Riviera earlier this season. Adam Scott's playing like he was 2 years ago when he was the number one player in the world, and he's really adjusted well to not being able to anchor his putter, and he's playing like a top 5 player in the world. I mean, Ricky Fowler has been close in majors, and he won some big tournaments last year, and you know, maybe this is his time. So there really are a lot of players emerging in this post-Tiger Woods era for golf, and it's just going to make for a really exciting Masters because there's really not a favorite. There's some players that look really, really good on paper, but it's not like the Tiger era where you could pick the same person every year to win for 15 straight years and be right, you know, half the time.
Ricky Fowler, in fact, to me, has a major league golf course game. In other words, the bigger the golf course, the better in terms of the toughness of the course, the better he seems to play.
Yeah, and a lot of that, I think, comes up in his head, Steve. I mean, he's a very even-keeled person with a calm demeanor. There aren't too many highs with him and not too many lows with him, and that really works well in major championships where your golf game's getting tested more so than it would on a regular PGA Tour course, and I think that mentality works really well at a place like Augusta National or even looking ahead at Oakmont in June where the U.S. Open is going to be, because the greens are really, really difficult. And, you know, you get on the wrong side of the hole, you could have some free putts. And Ricky Fowler is really good at shaking those things off and not letting them linger. And in golf, the longer you let something linger in your head, which everyone who plays golf knows, the more trouble that's going to cause you. So, yeah, he's been really, really close. And I would think that this year he's gonna get one of these four majors this year, just not sure which one at this point.
A guy that has been in every tournament he has played in so far, where he's been in the neighborhood almost every single time, is Phil Mickelson. And I don't think if people look back on how the season's gone so far, he's been in the neighborhood the entire time. He thrives at this place. What do you think his odds are this week?
Yeah, you go back to 6 or 7 months ago at the end of the 2014-2015 PGA Tour season, you really had to question whether Phil Mickelson could still compete on the PGA Tour. I mean, he had a wretched season. He wasn't in the mix at any big tournaments. He was getting passed by these, you know, younger players, you know, guys that are 20, even some that are, you know, close to 25 years younger than him. There were a lot of questions around Phil Mickelson and whether he was just going to, you know, kind of bide his time going from tournament to tournament until he turns 50 and gets on the Champions Tour. But you're right, he's had an excellent start to the season, nearly won it at Pebble Beach. His name's been on a few other leaderboards since then, and he's swinging much, much better. I think he's feeling more confident in his swing. You know the short game's going to be there, especially at Augusta National. You know he's going to have the touch and feel around the greens, and it's just whether he can put the ball in the right places on his approach shots and tee shots. And you know, I didn't even mention him in our little opening there, but he's certainly a guy that is probably considered on everyone's top 10 list of contenders this week.
Yeah, I mean, he knows how to get around there, and that's something that is not to be underrated. What has allowed Alistair McKenzie and Bob Jones put this place together? Alistair McKenzie designed it. What's it allowed Augusta National to endure the way it has over the years, where you don't have questions about Augusta National the way some people have questions about, for example, St. Andrews because of the scores?
Well, it's kind of funny you mention Alistair McKenzie, because I've been doing some research on him recently, and I'm reading a collection of his writings that I'm not sure if people realize,
Alistair McKenzie rolls over in his grave every Michigan football game because they park cars on the golf course he designed there, too. All right, you may continue.
Well, you bring that up, Steve. I've also parked a car on the Purdue Ackerman course.
Yes.
Which is actually going through a renovation now with Pete Dye leading it. So I'm not so sure they're going to park cars on that course anymore after Pete Dye, you know, finishes his second of two courses at Purdue. I hope they don't park cars on a Pete Dye designed course. Yeah. That would be a shame. They can find somewhere else on that campus to park a car. But yeah, you know, Alistair McKenzie, it's not the Augusta National that I think he would be familiar with, because so many holes have been lengthened and altered over the years. With that said, what makes Augusta National withstand the test of time and be able to challenge the best players in the world on a regular basis are the greens. Those complexes are so severe, and they're running, you know, close to 14 on the stimp meter, which is unimaginable. When Alistair McKenzie designed that golf course, he probably never envisioned greens rolling twice as fast now as they do back in that time. And it makes you wonder, you know, if he knew how golf course maintenance and golf course technology would be today, would he design that course the same? But those greens are where the challenge is. They test everybody. They exert you. And not only do they test you on your putting, Steve, that's one of the misconceptions when you have real severe greens like that. It's the approach shots that become ultra important. You have to put your second shot on par fours, or your tee shot on par threes, or your third shot or second shot on par fives in the right place, or really you have no chance of scoring on that golf course. And I think that's where the length comes into it, Steve. Players are hitting the ball, you know, between 320 and 350 yards today, and that's kind of what's hurt Augusta National, the fact that it's easier to position the ball on the greens when you're hitting wedges and nine irons in the holes instead of, you know, six or five irons.
That's why often on this show I've referred to Augusta National as a second shot golf course. And you have to have a great second shot on that golf course all the time, or a third if you're playing. Well, even the second shots on the par fives, because two, usually eight, absolutely 13 and absolutely 15 are all reachable on your second shot.
Yeah, and yeah, there's been some buzz around the 13th hole this week, and in the future of the hole, Steve, there's talk of the Augusta National Golf Club might spend $20 million to buy some property at adjacent Augusta Country Club and lengthen that hole so it can still be a par five. Or, you know, there are also questions whether that hole should play as a par four and make the course par 71, but I don't think the suits down there in Augusta want to see their par 72 course become a par 71 after so many years. So that hole is going to be a key hole in determining the Masters. There are a lot of shots to be gained there, and there's also shots to be lost. And I'm not talking balls that go into the hazard. I'm talking you make par on number 13 at Augusta National, you're probably losing.
Absolutely.
You're probably losing some shots to the leaders.
You're bogeyed.
Yeah, I mean,
yeah.
You know, you and I go down there and make par on any of those holes, and you know, we're celebrating. But really, a par on, if you look at the scoring average at the end of the week, I bet it's going to be in the low fours for that hole, unless the golf course plays really, really firm and balls just can't hold on the green. But it looks like they're going to get some rain tomorrow afternoon, which will really soften the golf course up, which could make scores go really, really low, because firmness is another defense that course has. And if you take that defense away, you're looking at maybe a score somewhere in the neighborhood of a Jordan Spieth shot last year with the way some of these guys are playing.
I brought up earlier, I was talking about the Olympics because we were talking about money. And I noticed that they've offered a major exemption to the gold medal winner at the Olympics. How concerned are they that they're actually going to get a legitimate field?
That's a good question. I think in the end, guys will go, you know, the field's limited. There can't be more than four players for one country, and they're only going to be, you know, they're going to be less than 100 players in that field, and you're going to have players from countries that are being represented that are nowhere in the top 300 or 400 in the world just because those countries are going to get represented. But I'm skeptical of the whole Olympic golf thing, Steve. If you're a golfer and you've trained in that sport your entire life, your focus, your goals, and your ambitions are on the four majors and winning one of those. And this is going to come after the PGA Championship, and it's going to be a very grueling summer for the top men's players, because really you have the U.S. Open, the British Open, the WGC Bridgestone, the PGA, and the Olympics all in a 7-week stretch. So they're going to be some exhausted players headed down to Rio, just mentally. And you know, where I think I'm not one of those people that think that because golf's going to be in the Olympics, there's going to be this big boom in golf and a lot of attention put on it. That's a nice perk for the winner to get exemptions in all the majors. But my guess is that whoever wins the Olympic golf tournament's already going to be exempted in all the majors. It's going to be, you know, one of those top 30 players in the world. Where I really think it could help golf, though, and this hasn't been talked about much, is I really think it could help the women's game. There are a lot of exciting things going on in women's golf right now. Not a lot of them are here. Not a lot of the emerging players are, you know, United States born, but you look at helping golf on a global stage. I think it's going to be one time where a lot of eyes are going to be on women's golf that aren't normally on women's golf. And I really think you look at some of the nations involved, like South Korea, it's just a titan in women's golf right now. And you know that winning a gold medal in golf would be huge in that country. Heck, making the South Korean women's golf team could be the second most challenging team to make in all the Olympics behind the Kenyan marathon team. And there's some great players like Lydia Ko coming from Australia, New Zealand, and that region. So I really think that where golf might see the benefit is that there could be a lot of people watching the women's game that normally don't tune into it. And hopefully that leads to, you know, a lot of young girls or even, you know, grown women wanting to take up the game, because that's one area where golf is still struggling to reach and still struggling to expand itself. So I'm not sure. I'm almost positive we're not going to see any boom in the men's game, but I really do think women's golf could benefit from the whole Olympic thing.
Yeah, in fact, I covered the U.S. Women's Open at Lancaster Country Club last year, and people came out in droves, and they were impressed by what they
saw. That was a big hit. I've talked to the golf course superintendents down there since then, Michael Yanowski and Todd Beetlestalker, and they said that it was the tournament was sold out for months, and that's a smart market to take it to, because there aren't a lot of big-time sporting events that roll through Lancaster County. So that was something that was really embraced by that entire area, and there's some momentum in women's golf. If you watch the ANA Inspiration, the major tournament last year, Lydia Ko came back and won, and she's really an emerging, not just an emerging golf star, she is a golf star, but she's an emerging female sports star, and we could be yeah. talking about her, even though she's not from America, in the same breath as right. you know, somebody like Serena Williams in 6 or 7 years.
She's 19 now, right?
18 still. Yeah, still and she's 18. Won 12 tournaments.
And that's what really blew me away last year, was that when she got to the press conference, how poised she was and was not awed by anything. The setting, she fit into the setting as if she was 38. So.
Yeah, it's amazing. It's kind of like Jordan Spieth. I mean, you hear Jordan Spieth talk, and you would think the guy was 45 yeah. years old. I mean, some of these young stars in golf have been raised by great families, and they're really, really mature, and there are a lot of likable young people in golf. I mean, it's tough to find anyone saying a negative thing about a Lydia Ko or a Jordan Spieth or a Jason Day or Rory McIlroy. These are really, really likable people, which, you know, like I said, I'm not sure how it's going to help the participation side of golf, but the professional side, sponsors are going to want to be attached and involved with those people, and fans are going to want to watch them for years to come.
Guy, always a pleasure, my friend. It's great to have you back.
Yeah, thanks, Steve, and don't be a stranger. Maybe we can talk before the next major heads to your state.
Absolutely. Oakmont, looking forward to it. Thanks so much.
Yep.
Guy Cipriano. Masters week. Time to take out the clubs. On a week around here where you can see your breath on the third tee. We'll come back with more in a moment here on News Radio 1070 WKOK. When it comes to car buying, there's the other guy's way, and then there's the SMC way. The other guys force you into a vehicle you really don't want. The Subaru Motors way lets you take the time you need to browse, ask questions, and take the test drive and think on it. For over 100 years, the Mertz family and all their employees have made your experience the most pleasant one you'll ever have. The other guys won't offer you the best price for your trade, no matter how much they say they will. The SMC way is their promise to provide you with the most money the market shows your vehicle is worth. The SMC way is to offer you all applicable factory rebates on new vehicles and generous discounts. Looking for a pre-owned vehicle? The SMC Way checks each vehicle in a 200-mile radius to determine the lowest price, then beat it. It's the lowest price promise, just part of the SMC Way. The choice is up to you. The other guy's way or the SMC Way? The SMC Way wins every time. Sunbury Motors Company in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury, and at sunburymotors.com. Selling more cars and satisfying more customers for over 100 years.
Another beautiful day here at Augusta National. The dogwoods and azaleas in full bloom. And the roars of the crowd. As Sean Carey is now at 8 under par through 6 holes, courtesy of 2 eagles. We've never seen anything like it here at Augusta National. I've never had anybody walk up to me and say, "I don't understand, where's the clown's mouth?" A tradition unlike any other, Sean Carey at the Masters.
And then reality set in, and I woke up.
What do you mean it's not a... I thought it was a miniature golf tournament. What do you
That's
mean?
That's more up my lane. I'm more of the putt-putt clown's mouth. Give me a free game and...
It's a scary show.
It is.
Very scary. Tony Knopp, CEO of Spotlight Ticket Management, next half hour. Hello, friends. Jim Nantz, you go from the Final Four in Houston to Augusta National.
Same with your
Kevin Kugler.
Kevin Kugler we had in the call of the day yesterday.
Yep. Cougs is doing the same thing. He's making the trek over, and then Kevin's going to do the College World Series, too. So, not bad. All right, next half hour, we're going to talk with Tony Knopp, the CEO of Spotlight Ticket Management. We're going to talk about the business of sports. This is, again, there's nothing more entertaining than Mark Lawrence, who never gets angry, yelling at Kevin to get up off the floor. Get out of the fetal position, man. We sell commercials for Shikellamy football. Let's go. He said I made the entire experience less fun for him. So because of that, we booked Tony more and more. Today, we're in the Sunbury Motors studio. Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, Key Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. News Radio 1070 WKOK, your home for the Philadelphia Phillies.